I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Ha ha. Yes, indeed. It is another glorious weekend for a netcast to share with you the geekery that's going on in the universe. Which, of course, I know what all that geekery is that's going on in the universe because I pay attention. Just saying. Anyway, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Also, we are proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters because that's just what we do here at drbillbailey.net is broadcast over the internet. So it kind of makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, we got stuff for you this week. As usual, first up on our agenda, which of course comes from the blog of course is drbill.tv, drbill.tv as it says there on the screen, and this week we start with a note of somewhat of pride, not because I have anything to do with it whatsoever, but I am from North Carolina, and this distribution of Linux is also from North Carolina. How cool is that? But I'm in High Point there in Asheville, up there in the mountains where it's cooler. Down here it's kind of hot in the Piedmont area. But anyway, so up in Asheville, they have come up with Peppermint Linux, or as their website calls it, Peppermint OS version 5. Anyway, kind of an inside joke there about the 5. But Peppermint 5 is a lightweight, which means easy on the hardware, Linux desktop that tightly integrates your cloud presence into the desktop experience. Okay, so as popular as Chromebooks have become, this is a new way to take your old hardware and maybe spruce it up a bit by getting, you know, Windows XP or whatever you have on that old system. Take that hardware and get rid of all of that and install Peppermint OS. And by doing so, you will have some pretty cool stuff. So I did a video of booting Peppermint 5, which we are going to look at right now. Okay, so today I want to do a little demo of Peppermint Linux, or as they call it themselves, Peppermint OS for operating system, at peppermintos.com. And you'll notice here that we're running it in live mode. Now, basically most Linux distributions have the ability to burn the ISO file off the website to a CD, boot off the CD, and then that gives you a live demonstration version of the operating system. And as usual for my demos, I'm running it under VirtualBox, and I can really recommend Oracle VirtualBox. Even though Oracle is obviously a commercial company, they put out VirtualBox as a virtualization platform for free, and they have both Linux versions of VirtualBox and they have Windows versions of VirtualBox. So really nice to be able to have a free virtualization platform to use just for things like this, these kinds of demos. Now we go right into Peppermint. As you see, it booted. Took a minute or two there to boot, but that's okay. And we've got this nice interface into Peppermint Linux, and we've got our menu down here. Now the nice thing about Peppermint version 5, two main features. One is it is based on Ubuntu, which is the lightweight version of Ubuntu. That is the version that will run very, very well on underpowered, what we would consider underpowered devices. So this is a great distribution, Peppermint is, for reviving your older machines that have maybe less memory, less CPU, and so forth. And so as you can see, very simple, easy to understand menuing system here. The other thing you'll notice is, if I go over here to Office, a lot of Google-centric applications provided here. You've got Gmail, you've got Google Calendar, you've got Google Drive. Now, Google Drive, of course, will give you Word, Excel, and PowerPoint-like applications, compatible applications that you can use from Google Drive. Best thing, of course, is to have a Google account, like a Google Plus type account, and be able to log in and keep everything synced together nicely. The other thing you'll notice is that it has Chromium installed. That's the Linux version of their normal Chrome web browser. It is open source, and it is, of course, free, as regular Chrome is as well. But if we go into Chrome, you'll notice that it looks and feels just like the Chrome that you're used to. As a matter of fact, you can sync it and so forth with all of your other Chrome browser devices that you might have. Now, of course, they're going to go to their Peppermint Linux site, start.peppermintos.com, and this search engine is actually powered by DuckDuckGo, which is kind of interesting because everything else they're doing here on this distribution is very Google-centric. But at any rate, I'll do what all of us like to do, and that's Google ourselves. When I do that, then my site will come up. Number one, of course, for Dr. Bill Bailey is drbillbailey.net. That is our site for all of our different videos that we do, the Dr. Bill Show, Handheld Hack, Vert Zine, and the Word of Faith Netcast, as well as the audio shows that I do. And that's all available on our website, drbillbailey.net. Just throw in a little commercial there. There you go. So the interesting thing is this is powered by DuckDuckGo. Now, DuckDuckGo is the search engine that doesn't track you. Okay? It is particularly good for folks that are a little paranoid about their privacy. So you can set that as your home page and so forth. But I thought it was really interesting that Peppermint is choosing to use DuckDuckGo as their search engine, but all the Google apps for their distribution. Kind of interesting. Now, of course, the thing is, if you want LibreOffice or any other apps that are available for Linux, you can always go to the Synaptic Package Manager, and you'll be able to install and remove and upgrade all the various software packages that are available. You can also go to the Software Updater, which will update your copy of Peppermint version 5, keep it all secure and updated. So there's a lot of tools available here. Sound and video, you've got media player, music player, pulse audio, volume control to control the volume of your PC running Peppermint. Then we already mentioned Office. Internet, we've got a BitTorrent client. We've got Dropbox already pre-installed. User guides are out there. That's kind of nice that they provide those for new users. And then, of course, graphics, games, a few simple games, and then accessories, including an archive manager, calculator, and so forth. Pretty nice installation here. And, of course, as I said, you can add anything you want to it. You can put LibreOffice. You can get VLC Player, which I have one of my favorites. I always install that. And lots of other applications that are available. I'll go ahead and close this out. But the nice thing about this is how simple and easy it is to boot off the CD, be able to test it on your hardware, and then you can click this button up here to install Peppermint directly onto your hard drive, and it will just step you through the installation. Very simple and easy to do. So, hope you enjoyed our kind of quick look here at Peppermint 5. It is a cloud-centric version because the idea here is to take your older hardware and be able to essentially make a Chromebook-like simple Linux installation that will have all these applications available for you, which is why they use a lot of the Google apps to do that. So pretty neat. I really think it's a great distribution, and it's made right here in North Carolina, Asheville, North Carolina. Way to go, folks, over there in Asheville. So for those of us that are North Carolina born and bred, something else to be proud of. There you go. So enjoy it and download it from PeppermintOS.com.
Okay, so wasn't that cool? Now you see that it's very simple and easy to use and should be something you consider very seriously to replace all those old yucky Microsoft operating systems you may have out there on various devices. Alrighty, let's move on, shall we? There is now a faster Dropbox client available. Now, I'm a big fan of Dropbox. I use it all the time. And I store all kinds of good stuff there. I've accumulated lots of Dropbox space over the, over the years, actually, now. Since I started on Dropbox by telling other people about it and having them sign up. And that gets me additional space credit. Yes, Fred, I said space credit. No, not that I'm from outer space, but just more disk space available on the cloud because I told folks. Good old Fred. Fred's my imaginary friend, of course. You may know Fred. Matter of fact, if you see and hear of Fred other than on this show, you got issues, I'm just telling you. Okay. Oh, you think you could do your own netcast, Fred? Sure he could. Okay. Anyway, Dropbox. There's a new client, and this new client has been updated with Streaming Sync. Now, that doesn't mean a sync that has got a leak in it. No. It means sync with a Y, and it streams information up to it as it loads files. So you can start loading a file up and then just keep using it, and it doesn't, you know, kind of get it all mucked down with streamage. Yeah, not really words. Anyway, it says here, Dropbox today, when this article was posted at least, announced its desktop client is getting Streaming Sync, a new feature that will significantly reduce the time needed to synchronize large files. You can download the new version now from Dropbox.com, and the company promises the improvement will be rolled out over the next couple of weeks. So basically, you can get the client side now, and the server side will be ready in a couple of weeks. But anyway, I went ahead and downloaded a new version, the new version for myself, installed it on my PC. Dude, so I'm ready for when their servers are ready. Now, Microsoft had a bit of a an interesting announcement this week. They basically have started warning users that the end is soon coming for free Windows 7 support. They will end free mainstream support for Windows 7 on January 13th, 2015. Now, you may say to yourself, wait a minute, it's July of 2014. That means in less than 6 months, well, a little over 6 months, right at 6 months, they're saying they're going to end support for Windows 7? And the panic ensues. No, that's not what they said. You have to parse it very carefully. Because Microsoft is evil. And what they're trying to do is stir up a lot of concern to get people to go ahead and upgrade to Windows 8 and 8.1 now and soon 9. Okay? So, they're trying to get the fear going out there. But really what it's about is the free support will be over for Windows 7. That means the general public free support. But businesses will still be able to pay for support Yes, they want their money. And perhaps it will encourage people to move to Windows 8 and above once 9 comes out, you see. Okay, so they're being classy as usual and getting all the fear going out there. Yeesh. So that's not good. By the way, they updated the story and said that they have promised to provide security updates even after it ends mainstream support through 2020. Reminds me of the old song from many, many years ago. In the year 2525. I know, 2525 is much further away than 2020. It's just weird anyway. I mean, 2020? 2015? That's just odd to me. I know, it's... I'm just used to the 1900s, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so Microsoft has promised they will continue to do security updates, which is really all anybody cares about anyway. So don't get, you know, all upset about it. It's not going to be that big a deal. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, whoa! Yes, Fred, it is time for the Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is What in Startup? It sounds like somebody is about to cuss and then quits. What in Startup? What a weird name for an application anyway. What they're trying to say is it can show you what's in your startup on Windows. Okay. This, of course, are our good friends from Nearsoft, NIRSOFT, Nearsoft. And they do like to run all their words together into one word. So that's why we have What in Startup as our Geek Software of the Week. Geek Software of the Week this week is a utility that displays the list of all applications that are loaded automatically when Windows starts up. For each application, the following information is displayed. The startup type, registry, startup folder, command line string, product name, file version, company name, location in the registry or file system, and much more. It allows you to easily disable or delete unwanted programs that run in your Windows startup. You can use it on your currently running instance of Windows, as well as you can use it on external instances of Windows on another drive. That's pretty cool. What in Startup also supports a special permanent disabling feature. If a program that you previously disabled added itself again to the startup list of Windows, What in Startup will automatically detect the change and disable it again. Ha! Pretty cool. Keep you from getting infected with malware, perhaps. Yes. Now for a bit of geek culture. No, I'm not going to play a video or a song or an MP3 or anything like that. I'm just going to tell you something that's sneaky. And that's this. The CW may have leaked their Flash TV show pilot episode to the interwebs. The rumor has it that perhaps they wanted to create a buzz among the geek community by putting it out there so that people could surreptitiously pirate it from the torrents. Now, of course, here on the Dr. Beal Show, we do not recommend that you pirate software or that you use the torrents for illegal obtaining of said software or entertainment. That is not our purpose here. What we're talking about is the interesting idea that the CW could be releasing this intentionally as a kind of shot across the bow, so to speak, to get the geek community all excited about the new show. Well, I'm already pretty excited about it because I'm a fan of The Flash. And I'm not talking about Flash Gordon. Flash! Oh, not that Flash. Okay. This is the Scarlet Speedster, the fastest man alive, the Flash from DC Comics. Yes. How awesome is that? Anyway, it also is kind of tied in a bit with Arrow. So, cool show. They've already had the Flash on Arrow and kind of teased it there a little bit too to try to get a lot of people all excited about it. So it's possible, you understand, that maybe they leaked this intentionally. If so, it's kind of interesting because this is something I've said all along. This is what companies should be doing. They should be letting you in on stuff like this so that it does get some hype going and it actually benefits them in the long run. And I'm going to be watching this show on real TV, you know, this fall when it comes on. So cool, if true. And then finally, the last item we have this week is something quite interesting and a bit odd, and that's this. There is a device called Mind Reader. Now, it's actually spelled Mind, MRDR. Okay, I got it. Mind MDR. It's hard to think and read and talk at the same time. Thank you, Fred. You wouldn't believe it, but he's my biggest fan. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it is pronounced Mind Reader. Ha ha. But it's really Mind RDR and the last three letters being capitalized, as it says on the screen. Anyway, the point is you use Google Glass, which, as you may or may not know, can take photos if you tap it, click, you know, or say, okay, Google, take a picture, which is, you know, that's a little disruptive to have to say it out loud. So the idea is, what if you could have this sensor on your forehead that read your thoughts so that when you thought, okay, Google, take a picture, it would go click. And then you thought, okay, Google, post it to Facebook. Post. How weird would that be? Well, that's what they claim this will do. And so I've got a video there on the blog for you to watch and see this miraculous thing in action. Now, I hope it works as well as they say it does, because that would be really cool, okay? And highly geeky, so I like that. So we'll see. It's not like I'm likely to buy Google Glass and this device to try it anyway, because it's a whole lot of money. Google Glass is like, you know, $1,400 or something. I don't think so. They're going to have to bring the price way down before I get Google Glass. But anyway, there you go. So that's it for this week's edition of the Dr. Bill Show. Join us next time. I was reminded of a show, you know, where they say, join us next time when you'll hear so-and-so say. No, that's not it. Remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.